Welcome to the Agency in Focus SOCOM, sponsored by Leidos. Now, here's your host, Tom Temin.
The Defense Department's Special Operations Forces do things no other military force can do. Sometimes it needs special technologies and support tools to get that job done, though. One instrument for rapid innovation in special ops is an organization called SOFWorks. It's located in Tampa, Florida, near U.S. Special Operations Headquarters. For a look at how this organization works, I spoke with Kelly Stratton Fikes, the Director of Acquisition Agility at SOCOM, and with Tamron Bates, the Director of SOFWorks. Bates explains how SOFWorks fits under its related DoD organizations.
So the Doolittle Institute is actually the 501c3. We're incorporated here in Florida, and that's the contractual component, whereas DefenseWorks is more of a branding strategy. The actual contractual element is the Doolittle Institute.
Okay, and Kelly, again, starting from the beginning, tell us the objective of all of this activity.
So SOFWorks was formed under a partnership intermediary agreement between U.S. SOCOM and the Doolittle Institute, and it was a competitive selection process that started in late of 2015. So we're just about three quarters into a five-year agreement. But essentially, the bottom line, why U.S. SOCOM had the need to establish the agreement was we realized that there was a tremendous acceleration of technology development going on in the commercial world, and we were concerned that some of that stuff might not be getting to us through traditional acquisition channels. We realized that there's a lot of barriers to entry working with the government, not only physically to get to us behind the wire, if you will, on base, but the just enormity of acquisition regulations and rules that govern just interactions and being able to collaborate with industry as well. So the Partnership Intermediary Agreement is a 15 USC 3715. That's the legislative language that enables the intermediary to act on our behalf to find ways to increase the success of getting these novel, provocative, and disruptive technologies to U.S. SOCOM.
Sure, and before we get into some of those and some of the methodologies you use to acquire them, so there's a legal framework for this, in a sense, and in many ways there's also a cultural need or cultural framework that gave rise to this.
Yes, absolutely. So not only is our intermediary acting on our behalf, but they are nurturing and developing this ecosystem that reaches out to non-traditionals, non-traditional entities that are not normally doing business with the DoD, small businesses, academia, and laboratories. So culturally, you know, they're getting at markets that we have traditionally not been doing business with.
Sure, and the language that you use to describe the activities of SOFWorks is often applied to agile software, in particular acquisition, but your mission is much larger than software, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Actually the term agile acquisition is kind of interesting if you read through the legislative language, really going back to 2015 in the NDAA, where I believe it was Representative Hunter, Duncan Hunter, who started really promulgating using the term agile acquisition. But essentially, it's really the growing awareness at all levels of the government and not just the DoD that we need to keep up with what's going on in the commercial markets. So the use of the term agile in the sense of agile software development is really what we're trying to do across the spectrum of government acquisition. We're trying to do fast-paced, iterative capability development to just simply be able to keep up with the acceleration of technology in the commercial markets.
And let's get to an example. You said that 69 of the ideas that have come into SOFWorks and then go through the process of resulting in something, you hope. Two of them, 69 of them came from warfighters themselves. And after all of the process, two became records, or systems of record, or operational systems of record. What are those? What was developed that is now being used in regular operation by special operations that started with warfighter suggestions that came through SOFWorks?
So there's actually several, and there's a great debate about what constitutes a transition to a program of record. But we hold ourselves pretty honestly to a higher standard, and that is really what contractually is SOCOM moving forward for with from the program executive office. And so we actually have a couple of those. Most notably, the one of them was a Gotenna, which was a small handheld device that paired with your phone.
A Gotenna, it was called?
Correct, correct. And so they've actually taken the idea, and then they've done what SOFT traditionally does, is it takes commercially available technologies, kind of makes them their own, put some of their tradecraft with it, put some money behind it, and then blew out the capability and made it certainly more robust and more capable than what we brought them, at least initially. Most of those, although you talked about transitions to program of record, most of what we're doing to present has been what we call consignments. And that means we've actually handed them something that they're either in the process of assessing, and or they're not going to become programs of record because, quite frankly, they're very inexpensive tools or capabilities. And a lot of times that's what the warfighter on the battlefield needs, is just something very cheap, very ineffective, or very inexpensive, but very operationally relevant or effective. And so we do a large majority of what we call consignments.
We're speaking with Tamberin Bates. He's the director of SOFWRKS, and with Kelly Stratton Fikes. She's the director of acquisition agility at U.S. Special Operations Command. So in something like this antenna, what would happen if it had gone through the regular acquisition cycle through a requirement and a program manager somewhere and a contracting officer and et cetera, et cetera?
Tom, that's a great question. Through a traditional acquisition process, we know that even for small purchase type items, it can take up to a year during a normal FAR-based procurement contract to go through the announcement of the requirement, solicitation of offers, evaluation of proposals to contract award. That can take upwards of almost a year. I think we do a great job at SOCOM, and we can accelerate in many ways. But just that in itself, just the year-long process that it sometimes takes to get something on contract is very prohibitive, of course, especially to non-traditionals and small businesses.
And we mentioned an example of a small, inexpensive device that ended up as a program of record. But you look bigger than that, too, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Under the partnership agreement, of course, a lot of the collaboration, rapid prototyping, and experimentation we're doing is helping to inform decision-making about requirements, about our problems, to understand the current state-of-the-art of technologies. So a lot of that is very nascent in the requirements development phase, but it's compressing that time as well. The requirements process through the JSIDs is extremely lengthy. At U.S. SOCOM, we have a SOFSIDS process that is much more abbreviated, but that process also, it takes time. So using the SOFWRKS model to really get at what is the problem, what's the state of the art of technology, what is the art of the possible, we are compressing that in itself at SOFWRKS, along with the rapid prototyping that is delivering hardware or software articles that can be tested further in an operational environment or within a data science test bed or any type of software test bed. So we're compressing that entire cycle that helps acquisition folks and the warfighters, the requirements and the users, to make decisions about whether to scale up to a program of record, whether to cancel because we are not where we thought we would be, whether to harvest technologies that come out of this rapid prototyping, certain aspects of the technologies, and or whether there are rapid acquisition capability offices that can go straight to procurement, or using other non-FAR-based methods such as OTAs to further a little bit of R&D.
OTA being?
Other Transaction Authority. And then follow on to production.
When we start talking about size and scale of some of the projects as well, for example, this year we're doing things such as working on submersible jet skis.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for us
as well. Except for the circumstances under which they'll be used, but
right. Otherwise
they sound like they'd be a lot of fun.
Well, hopefully we'll be testing them someplace warm. And then we've got a forward area refuel cart that we're developing, along with special mission processors and some other things. So in our maturity curve, as we've become a trusted partner and agent, that's also another thing that has allowed them. Now SOCOM is opening up because they have found value. they're bringing more things to us, more challenges and more problems to go solve, which is a good place to be.
Tamron Bates is director of SoftWorks. You also heard Kelly Stratton Fikes, director of acquisition agility at U.S. Special Operations Command. In part two of the interview, Fikes and Bates discuss how SoftWorks interacts with industry and other components of the armed services. I'm Tom Temin.
Leidos is proud to support U.S. SOCOM and its mission to protect America's interests around the world. SOCOM's can't-fail missions can't afford anything less than the latest cutting-edge technology. That's why at Leidos, we develop adaptive and agile solutions utilizing open systems architecture that rapidly integrates new innovations, ensuring special operations forces have the decisive advantage on the battlefield. At Leidos, we're helping SOCOM achieve mission success today and transform mission readiness for tomorrow. To learn more, visit leidos.com.
One never-ending goal for U.S. Special Operations Forces is having technology to help ensure unmatched domination of whatever situation operators find themselves in. A special unit called SoftWorks draws on industry and the ideas of operators themselves for innovative ideas that can become useful programs. For how SoftWorks works, I spoke with Kelly Stratton Fikes, the Director of Acquisition Agility at SOCOM, and with Tamron Bates, Director of SoftWorks, during a recent conference in Tampa, Florida.
Yeah, primarily we're kind of driven through our networking, what we call our ecosystem. We're not a pay-to-play organization. Signing into our ecosystem is free.
It's not a big trade show.
Correct. And that's really how we alert all of our partners as to how they can participate or what types of technologies or capabilities that SOCOM's currently interested in and how they can come in and participate and be a part of the process.
Sure. And now Special Operation Forces has the word special. The S is special in SOF. Nevertheless, all of the members of Special Operations come from the respective military branches, their armed services branches. So to what extent does what comes into SoftWorks have any application DOD-wide or service-wide in the case of the Air Force, Army, Navy, whatever? Or do Special Operations have such a large set of particular requirements that pretty much anything they would develop through SoftWorks would be only useful to Special Operations?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Tom. So I would start by saying that SOCOM acquisition is focused on Special Operations Forces needs. Of course, we do everything by, with, and through the services. So our acquisition model, if you will, is set up that we receive a lot of kit and equipment from the services. It may then be modified further for SOF-specific purposes, or if SOF has a particular need that cannot be fulfilled first from the services, then we, of course, have the authority to go out and develop that on our own. And as far as SoftWorks is concerned, we really look forward to opportunities where we can identify common problem sets that we can leverage the services working with us early on. And then SOF is a great testbed for the services. We have the operators very inherently involved in our acquisition system. They can take prototypes and take them to the field in an operational environment and provide very valuable and useful feedback that could be beneficial to the services and us as well. But of course, as far as SOF is concerned, we have a very small part of the overall DOD budget. I believe it's about 2%. So it's a great win for U.S. SOCOM if we find common areas of capability interest that start at SOCOM and that are picked up by the services, because then SOF gets their kit and it gets paid for by the services. So at SoftWorks early on, we are really looking for those great opportunities where we can partner with the services or other government agencies as well and work on things at SoftWorks, help out SOF, and transition that to the greater DOD and military.
Because I would think that something that is good for Special Operations Forces would be good for any member of the armed services. In some sense.
Yeah, that's certainly often the case. And as Kelly said, we're really looking early and often. We have several right now that we're in discussions with different other government groups and or other, sister service organizations to assess different capabilities and technologies that hopefully would transition back to the service at a later date.
Yeah, and I would only like to add, Tom, that because SOFT does have a special mission set and we are smaller, small teams, you know, so our mission areas are different. And using the model like SOFTWorks to collaborate with industry, innovative, non-traditional small businesses and other entities to find disruptive technologies, right? So when you're looking at disruptive technologies, being involved early where you can influence where that capability is going is really paramount to getting those disruptive unfair advantages that SOFT is looking for. So as you said, certainly there's a lot of things that whatever SOFT uses, you know, theoretically could be transitioned to the services. But I would say looking at disruptive technology, SOFT is definitely a great incubator to get moving in that regard, and how those disruptive technologies could be adaptive to the larger services would be a great advantage to our country and across the military services.
Sure. So zeroing back in on, say, some of the projects, and SOFTWorks does do software as part of the development. What's an example of some software types of capabilities that might be in the pipeline now, or what are people needing in software that doesn't exist out there, and why would that require a non-traditional developer?
Yeah, so there's certainly other folks that are within the Department of Defense, other innovation spaces that are much better and more attuned at the actual software problems. And so we don't do software as much. We do have a couple of cases where we're building deliberate components or applications that the warfighter has asked us for. Ours is more of kind of a tool or technique capability from
things
a software
you can touch
perspective.
And feel.
Well, where we're going with it, though, is actually it's more of a means to an end. Software is just a tool that we use to solve certain problems. So while it's not a specific software application, we'll do things like when we work with IoT devices, the Internet of Things that are out there. We work with our 18 series SOFT folks when we start talking about, you know, electronic warfare and things like that. So how do all of those things interplay together? How can we take advantage of that interplay and then both seek, you know, some advantages? And then what are the disadvantages for our side as well? So we kind of look at it from a red team versus blue team aspect.
Tamron Bates is director of SOFTWorks. You also heard Kelly Stratton Fikes, director of acquisition agility at U.S. Special Operations Command. More after this break. I'm Tom Tamman.
Leidos is proud to support U.S. SOCOM and its mission to protect America's interests around the world. SOCOM's can't-fail missions can't afford anything less than the latest cutting-edge technology. That's why at Leidos, we develop adaptive and agile solutions, utilizing open systems architecture that rapidly integrates new innovations, ensuring special operations forces have the decisive advantage on the battlefield. At Leidos, we're helping SOCOM achieve mission success today and transform mission readiness for tomorrow. To learn more, visit leidos.com.
Welcome back to our interview with Kelly Stratton Fikes, the Director of Acquisition Agility at Special Operations Command, and Tamron Bates, Director of SOFTWorks.
So let's talk about some of those objects that might be under development. Suppose you get a suggestion, you put out a notice to your ecosystem. What if one of the giant companies comes in and says, hey, we can do that? That's not really in the spirit of what you're trying to do. And is that a practical consideration in the day-to-day work?
No. So for us, and I certainly won't speak for SOCOM, but from our perspective at SOFTWorks, we don't care where the good idea comes from. If SOCOM has a challenge or a problem that needs to be solved, our job is to really help them. We're a platform from which they can choose to solve it. And so even when a larger company comes in, while our focus is still non-traditionals, that doesn't mean we won't work with them. And it certainly doesn't mean that SOCOM isn't interested either, because they're interested in getting their problem solved. So there's certainly ways around it and workarounds. And we found a lot of times that our military industrial complex partners, the larger companies, they're actually very attuned to how we operate and what we need. And a lot of those groups have small business organizations as part of their industry outreach as well. And so we work with those folks very well.
Yes, and Tom, I would just add to that, again, I would reiterate what Tamron said, that we do not exclude large businesses from participating at SOFTWorks event. Our focus, of course, is to lower the barriers for non-traditional small business small businesses as well. But we don't exclude large businesses. And actually, there have been some great opportunities for these non-traditionals and small businesses having large businesses there that they have made partnerships. But I would also like to say that we have great opportunities as well for large businesses to provide industry fellows in our industry fellowship program, where they are sponsoring highly capable subject matter experts in various fields that they fund, and they come spend some time at SoftWorks. We'd like to have them for at least 3 to 6 months at a very minimum, but we've had industry fellows under that program that is sponsored by USSOCOM for over a year. So they are participating, providing their subject matter expertise and getting to know us better. And interestingly enough, it's also used as a reward system, so that they are encouraging and motivating their own workforce to do something different, to get out of their traditional model of what they're doing in their company and come spend some time with us as SoftWorks.
And suppose something gets to the point where this is going to be a great program of record. It's, in fact, it's so good we need $1 billion worth of them. Does it then transition to the regular acquisition system under the FAR? Or if you've reached that decision point and this is one you want to scale as opposed to abandon or keep going at a low level, as you mentioned, then how does that work?
Yeah, so I would say, again, what we're doing at SoftWorks is very left and very in the nation stages of requirements develop and trying leading up to that decision-making point. But as you said, Tom, when we get to that point where we're determining a program of record, and if there is a candidate that is absolutely a follow-on, we will go forward. It does not need any further research and development dollars. Then certainly doing another transaction authority is a potential, because under OTA authority, if you competitively do your rapid prototyping, you can do a non-competitive follow-on production contract. However, if we identify something at SoftWorks and it's, the next big thing and definitely is moving on to a program of record, but there does need to be further research and development, then either you could enter a program of record at the milestone B phase, where the government would do additional research and development, and that thus would be under the FAR.
And what happens to the intellectual property that's developed through all of this process? Some of it might be yours, some of it might be a small vendor's.
Yes, of course, that kind of depends. The events that start at SoftWorks, and Tamara can talk about this a little bit as well, but generally when we're starting at SoftWorks, again, we are in the very early phases of discovery, technology discovery, and we are, we don't want IP to either be a weapon or to be a disadvantage, to the government. So, we want industry to come with their ideas. Their IP is their lifeblood. So we don't discourage that. We certainly encourage open source. We encourage, open collaboration. But if industry does have, concerns about their IP, we're not going to discourage them from playing. And then as we move forward in that cycle of rapid prototyping and then making those decisions whether to scale up, enter a program of record, follow on with another transaction authority, those IP requirements and desires are negotiable.
That's Kelly Stratton-Fikes, the Director of Acquisition Agility at SOCOM. You also heard Tamron Bates, Director of SoftWorks. There's much more to the interview. Hear it in its entirety at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Agency in Focus, SOCOM, sponsored by Leidos on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be found on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search Agency in Focus.